Greetings, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of A Kingdom Voice and the Unadulterated Truth. I am your host, A Kingdom Voice, bringing you a word from the King for the Kingdom. So that song that we just intro song is God Is Not Dead. And I chose that song this morning because I woke up for the past 3 days with this song ringing in my head and in my spirit. Even in my sleep, I'm hearing these very lyrics that God's not dead, he's surely alive. God's not dead, he's surely alive. Living on the inside, roaring like a lion. That's been my anthem in my spirit for the past 3 days. So I said, the Lord is trying to tell me something. The Lord is trying to tell us something, because today is the day that I'm going to do the podcast. And so here it is this morning at 5:30 in the morning, and there it is again. So I'm like, Lord, there's a message that you are trying to get out, and maybe just a reminder and something that we need. So it's been my anthem for the past 3 days, and I feel like it's going to be my anthem for the rest of this week. So I'm going to share from the scriptures today. So let's jump right into it. Let us go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. So bear with me a little bit here today, because I know I sound a bit stuffy. The season is changing, and so my allergies are starting to kick in, and I'm waking up with this stuffiness, so it'll take a while for my nasal passages to clear up. So it is me, in case I sound a little bit different to you. So again, we are going to 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is, we're talking about the prophet Elisha here. And I'm going to start at verse 8. So, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. So the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. So he's fighting against Israel, and he's telling the servants, this is where we're going to set up. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So the king of Syria has a plan. We're going to set up our camp down here. We're going to attack the Israelites. God spoke to the prophet of Israel, and the prophet spoke to the king of Israel and told him what the Lord had told him about the Syrians' plans. And they heeded the word of the prophet and did not go that way. And because of that, they were saved. And so this didn't happen one time. This didn't happen two times. It happened more than that. And so verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So this is mind-boggling for the king of Syria. He's like, now, more than two occasions, somebody done told the king of Israel our plans. So which one of y'all is it? Would you like to tell me which one of you it is that's telling my secrets to the king of Israel? Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. It's none of us. Oh, it ain't none of us, king. They got a prophet over there in Israel. That prophet is telling the king what you're saying in your private bedroom. Verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. So the king of Syria said, okay, go find out where he is. And when you get him, bring him to me. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So the king of Syria, once they found out where the prophet was, he sent out a host of chariots and people to encamp that place where he was. So they were surrounded. They surrounded the places with all these horsemen and chariots all around him. Verse 15. But they came at night. They came at night. Now, I'm not sure why the king didn't think that if the Lord is telling the man of God his secrets while he's in his bedchamber concerning Israel, why wouldn't that same God tell the prophet the king's secrets concerning Elisha? Why would he mess with the prophet knowing that God is speaking to the prophet and telling him to warn the king of Israel about the king of Syria's plans? Well, the same God, same prophet, so why wouldn't he be telling him what this man has planned for him? So, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So that servant woke up early in the morning, and when he looked around, he saw all them horses and chariots surrounding them. And he was like, wake up, master. What in the world are we going to do? Verse 16. And he answered, fear not. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not. Don't be afraid, because we have more people on our side than they have on their side. Now, the servant knows that it's him and Elisha and maybe a few more. But he's looking all around with that natural eye of his, like we do, because that's what we can see with, is our natural eye. We see the circumstance as it is with our natural eye. And to that natural eye, there are a whole lot of people out there, a whole lot of horses and chariots, and I know good and well we cannot deal with all of these by ourselves. But the response of Elisha is so calm. There's no anxiety. There's no fear. It's sort of like when Jesus was on the boat, you know, and had the storm raging around him. That circumstance that was facing him, that mountain that they thought was facing them, or that tempestuous river that was facing them. But Jesus said the same words. Why are you fearful? Don't be afraid. And here we have Elisha, the man of God, same thing. He gets up, he sees all of that, is completely unbothered. Do you hear me? The man of God was completely unbothered by what he saw with his natural eye. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Unbothered. Verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Glory to God. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. The Lord opened his eyes, and he was able to see. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. Not just chariots, not just any old chariot, but chariots of fire. And where were they? Round about the man of God. Round about the prophet. Elisha had backup from heaven. So the servant couldn't see it, but the man of God could see in the spirit realm all of the help that God had set for Elisha. So it doesn't matter in the natural eye what you're looking at, because in the spirit realm, God has got our back. God has got our back. And what I love about it is that there was no anxiety, no worry coming from Elisha. He was so chilled in his response because he knew who had his back. And so when I hear that song, God is not dead. He's surely alive, living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God is reminding me and us this morning that he's not dead. He's not dead. He's living on the inside of us. And he has the roar, the fierce roar of the lion. That God that's able to send down chariots of fire, the same God, is living on the inside of us. So we don't have to fear. That anthem that's ringing in my spirit is a reminder of whose I am and what I'm walking around with on the inside of me. I'm not alone. You are not alone. So despite what we see, despite what we see the enemy, this is for me, glory to God. Despite what we see the enemy doing all around us, God is reminding his people, reminding his servants that he's not dead, but surely alive, living on the inside of us. Ah, glory to God. Roaring like a lion. Oh, that ain't no small type animal. That's an animal that's able to tear the enemy. Glory to God. It says, pray, open the eyes of your servant, Lord. And that's our prayer today, that God will open the eyes of his servants so that they can see that there's nothing to fear, because we have a roaring lion. We have it lying on the inside of us, ready to defend. So as I look around every day, Lord knows, as I look around every day, there's darkness all over this land. There's darkness all over this land. And yes, it can get discouraging. And it's discouraging even more when the people of God are walking with blinders on. And for the prophet of God, that is frustrating. And it is discouraging when the people of God don't come together. It's like, why can't you see? Why can't you see? Why can't you see? That's what a prophet is. But the prayer needs to be, Lord, open their eyes so that they can see. And then what you show them is what you showed them, what you showed the servant for Elisha, that you are with us. That no matter what the enemy has planned, no matter what the enemy has going on in that we can see with the natural eye, there are chariots of fire encompassed round about us. In the spirit realm, they're chariots of fire. And we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Because the enemy certainly has all kind of things planned, especially for the people of God. All kinds of things are planned. But the Lord wants to remind us as we walk into this season to remember who you are, to remember that God still lives. He lives. We serve a living God. He lives. He lives. And he's ready to fight our battles. He's got an army encamped around about us. He's got an army that he set from on high. We've got a chariots of fire behind us. Even though we can't see it, we have to believe it. We have to believe it. So brothers and sisters, saints and friends, as you go into this season of darkness, of temptation, understand that you are not alone. There's no battle that you have to fight alone when you belong to Abba Father. When you can call him Abba, there's no fight that you enter in alone, because just like a natural father is going to stand up for his children, God is going to stand up for us. He's not dead. It may seem like it that the level of wickedness and tyranny and all these things that are coming about is so dark and as insurmountable, but God is letting us know today. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you for your word. He's letting us to know today through the prophet Elisha to fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We've got more soldiers in the army, more. And it reminds me of so many scriptures. Greater is he within me than he that is in the world. Those aren't just words. Because you have the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. What is greater than that? No devil in hell is greater than that. So you have more power than you think you have, because you have the greater one in you. God's not dead. He's surely alive, living on the inside. So greater is he in me than he that's in the world. I've got the greater one on the inside of me. Then if God be for us, then who can stand against us? If God be for us, he's for us. And if I'm his child, he is for me, because I'm his daughter. What father is not for his child? A godly father is for his children. So if God be for me, if God be for me, I say hello. If God be for me, who can be against me? Glory to God. It reminds me of, we are more than conquerors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, you're blessing me today. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, in the words of my late pastor, who wouldn't serve a God like this? Every now and then we need a reminder. We simply need a reminder. And I'm going to take that song playing in my spirit as a reminder that my God's not dead. That he's not dead. And I don't care what comes along. He's living on the inside of me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I want to read from from Romans chapter 8 real quick before we take it out. Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or persecution or persecution or famine or famine or nakedness or peril, danger or sword?" Or sword. Says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So if I'm in tribulation, if I'm facing distress, if I'm facing persecution, if I'm facing hunger, danger, nakedness, I'm without, even if I'm facing the sword. The love of God, the love of Christ remains for me. I'm not separated from him. Why? How can I be when he's on the inside of me? Living on the inside of me, I can't be separated. So what they're doing to me at that time, they're doing to Christ. Why? Because Christ is on the inside. So as long you can survive it, you can bear it, because you have a lion on the inside of you that will help you be able to stand. Verse 36, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So Paul was just reassuring the saints in Rome that even though we may go through all of these things, through tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, and death, because they're counted as sheep for the slaughter, and they're killed all the day long and treated like sheep to be slaughtered. Through all of that, Paul is telling us today, that we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors through him, through Jesus Christ, that loved us. So in all of that, all those things that we may face in the future, that some of our brothers and sisters all over the world are facing now, that we are more than conquerors. As long as we have Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And he said, he is persuaded, for I am persuaded, in verse 38. Paul says, for I am persuaded. He's completely convinced, totally without reservation, convinced that nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Death can't do it. Life can't do it. The angels, and nor the devil and his old principalities, nor the powers, nor things present, the things that are happening right now, the things that are going to come in the future, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Any other thing that was created, nothing, 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 nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have to be just as persuaded as Paul was. Just as persuaded that no matter what comes our way, we can remain steadfast. We can endure because Christ is on the inside of us. Because the greater one is on the inside of us. And in the spirit realm, there are more for us than they have. So you hold on to that, that God is not dead. He's surely alive, living on the inside of you. He lives in you. He lives in you. And so because you have the greater one living on the inside of you, you're more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors. Let that be your anthem this week. God's not dead. He's surely alive, living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God bless you, and that's all I have for you. Grace and peace.